The next function of mythology is the sociological one of giving you laws for living. Well, no society now is in a position to say that it knows what the laws for the next 10 years are going to be. Everything that we thought was good has turned out to be inconvenience. We have this whole ecological crisis and all this kind of business. It's driven home to us that the laws of life have to change along with the modes of life. So we don't have security there. We have to ad lib it. We have to wing it. Finally, there is the pedagogical function of a mythology, and as I've tried to suggest, the pedagogy of our inherited traditions does not work for all, and so you have to work out your own pedagogy. And now I want to give a notion of the way in which the mythic images come to life in you as Jung describes them. I just want to give a very brief, concise statement of Jung's concept of the, what he calls the archetypes of the unconscious that come into play automatically in a life in which you will be experiencing inevitably. First, he has the idea of the possibilities of your life, the energies, the potentialities and all. This he calls the self. This is the self, what your total potentialities for life would be, if fully fulfilled. Then you have a dawning consciousness. You can see this in a little baby as it begins to realize itself as ego. The self and ego are not the same. The ego is the center of consciousness, your consciousness of yourself and your consciousness of your world. And then there is what Jung calls the persona, the mask, the primary mask that the society puts upon you. The rules for life in this club. How you have to behave. What's regarded as proper, what is improper, and so forth and so on. This is the first big tension. The self, dark potential. The ego, which is learning about outside and inside. And the persona system. Now we move one step further in. There are aspects of your impulse, of your potentialities, that the society is not recognizing, that you are not recognizing, that either you haven't known are there or that you have repressed. This Jung calls the shadow. It is the opposite pole to the ego. If you think of the self as a great circle with a center, and you think of consciousness as well above that center, you think that the ego is up here, the center of consciousness, the shadow will be way down here. It's that you which you won't allow to come through. And it includes good, I mean, potent as well as dangerous and disastrous aspects. This is you as you might have been. And the shadow, mythologically, is always of your own sex. It is that aspect of you which is what you would have been if you had allowed yourself to be that way. And you can recognize who it is by simply thinking who the people are you don't like. They are projections of that you which you would be. Otherwise, they wouldn't mean very much to you. People who excite you, either positively or negatively, have caught something projected from yourself. I do not like you, Dr. Fell. The reason why I cannot tell, but this I know and know quite well. I do not like you, Dr. Why? Because you're my shadow. I don't know whether any decent person here has the kind of experience I have, but there are people I despise and hate the minute I see them. And these are that aspect of myself which I will not allow myself to admit. Then there's the other thing. That figure of the opposite sex that evokes you. This Jung calls for men, the woman who attracts them, the anima, and for women, the man who attracts them, the animus. Now you can go to a dance and there's some perfectly decent, nice-looking girl who's sitting there all alone, and there's some other little bumblebee with everybody all around her, just this kind of thing. What's she got? Well, something about the way the eye is, and it just evokes anima projections from all the males in the neighborhood. There are ways to get yourself up that way, and women don't always know what it is. I've seen people who are perfectly good anima objects so make themselves up that they repel the anima projection. At any rate, how do you fall in love at first sight? How do you fall in love with anybody whom you don't know? But bing, I was hit in the eye, and I've been a quiver ever since. That one is it. Okay, so then you make the next big mistake. You marry it. And it doesn't take long for the fact to show through. And when the fact shows through, you say, I am disillusioned. You take the illusion back. There it is, waiting for the next little bang. Well, there are people who go through life marrying and taking back their anima. Now, the one fact, the one archetypal fact is, it's going to happen, that's all. What you have married is a fact. And the fact shows through. So what are you going to do when a fact shows through? You had an ideal. You married that. Here comes a fact. It does not correspond to the ideal. You suddenly notice things. And there's only one attitude that will solve the situation. Compassion. This poor, poor fact, it does not correspond to my ideal. It's only a human being. Well, I'm a human being too. So by meeting a human being for a change and having to live with it and be nice to it with a shared compassion for the fallibilities, you may be brought to life as a human being.